just about.
What date that was? I don't know the exact date, but
we had a series of really extraordinary incidences in the state now because we've had the Attorney General who says he doesn't want to obey the civil rights law, at least that's the way I understand it, it's been related to me. The mayor of the city wants $1 million to put up a stockade in which he can put Negroes who cause trouble, sort of like Leander Perez, and a series of other things. They have a new bill introduced in the legislature which the man says will make enough trouble for people that are trying to register under a separate election procedure now required by the federal elimination of federal poll tax so that they'll go ahead and pay their poll taxes. He calls it giving people more opportunity to participate in state government. A series of most really extraordinary things. And now, of course, they've got a bill to harass us because their selective buying campaign has been effective. They have a bill to do that in the legislature. They have another bill that just passed, or it was just introduced. I think it passed one house that allows the transfer of police personnel from one county to another county wherever there's a disturbance. So that is an extraordinary.
I read that this morning or last night.
Not a dissent. They don't get a dissent in that legislature.
You see, the thing of it is, it's as I was telling him before, until this type of thing is stopped, and I keep saying until Negroes are given the right and the privilege to register and vote, we won't be able to control this unless the federal government sticks themselves in. Now, if the state can enact laws that's contradictory to the federal government, what good is the federal government law? Now, that's what is happening now. Now, everything that the federal government says, the state, Mississippi, go right away and do something different. And the federal government stands out by and let them do these things.
And it takes a long time to litigate these in court.
You see,
the staying action.
Now, yes, what could the federal government do? I should have said this. The federal government, I feel that the Negro of Mississippi is on his own. Number one, he has no local protection. Number two, he has no county protection. He has no state of protection. And now we find he has no federal protection. Because the only case that we have won in Mississippi against a registrar or any other Mississippian was down at Hattiesburg against Registrar Theron Lynn, who refused to register Negroes. Now then the federal government had him cold-handed, and they couldn't put him away. And he's still down there, registering. I mean, he's taking application under protest. And the only reason why he's taking it away is because we have the ministers and different ones are picketing in the courthouse in Hattiesburg.
He's flunking them. He's,
and I imagine he is.
Percentage.
And so you see then, what future, what protection can a Negro say, well, I know someone is with us in Mississippi. So you see, that's what a fight we're up against. And that's why I think the world should admire Negroes, especially the Mississippi Negroes, who are willing to continue to fight for their rights without violence. Because we have no law that says that a Negro can even get a drink of water. I was down to the state building last week, and all over the state building, white only, water fountain, the washrooms, are white, nothing for Negroes. I was down to the city jail, to the city police department. Everything that's a white only. Nothing for Negroes.
Really extraordinary example of that was they did get a drink downstairs, but there's also a restaurant in the basement, isn't there? We heard a story, there's a snack bar someplace around there in the Capitol. And some people went over there and it said, you know, section for whites, section for Negroes. And the man who runs the place, I guess this little snack bar is blind. And can't see. It's really very funny. But the sad thing is, you see, that everything, anybody who knows Mississippi and reads the laws that the legislature passes knows that what they're for. I mean, they're couched in really grand language, but their legal implications are simply as another tool to harass the Negroes. Now, they've just increased some of the fines that can be levied for minor felony, you know, for minor breach of peace and that sort of thing. It's obviously directed at Negroes because they're levied by local judges, and the difficulties of appealing these are extraordinarily high. We paid something like $1,500 in traffic fine harassments last fall on charges he was pushed through a traffic light and then given a ticket for it. I mean, people won't believe it, but it happens. You just haven't got the legal tools with three attorneys in the state that will take civil rights cases.
Where were you pushed through the traffic light?
In Clarksdale.
In Clarksdale.
Yeah, Clarksdale. And then another thing, even here, where they tell you, they get right on your tail. Right on your tail, and it's probably everywhere you go. Well, even the head of the Highway Safety Patrol is bound to make a mistake if somebody tails you right on your tail all the time. You're bound to make a mistake. You're bound not to give the correct proper turn signal at the proper distance. Are you bound to maybe drive 1 mile over the 20-mile speed zone to follow you long enough? Are you bound to stop suddenly because of something to curtail or to prevent an accident? So you see, all these type of things, when they're around you, they're bound to give you a ticket. And that's why if I ever drive my car, I usually go in a cab or I drive someone else. Because it's a police state. Mississippi is a police state. And it's police against Negroes.
I think that the thing that's going to happen is that the good whites in Mississippi are going to have to learn that the very laws they're passing are actually being used against them in many ways. Now, we know one specifically, and I think that bootleg liquor law, they don't realize how badly they're losing on it, because what happens is they have liquor supposed to be a prohibition state. They bring liquor into the state, and they tax it. Now, the people who sell it are paying kickbacks constantly to the police. It's one of the most extraordinary extortion rackets I've ever seen. Now, the Negroes do it as well as the whites, but it's a great tool against civil rights, because those Negroes who feed civil rights people on credit, those Negroes who will rent their building space to them, are immediately pigeonholed by the police, and they say, now look, you're selling liquor, and you're going to lose that liquor, and we're going to throw you in jail if you do anything more like that. So they try to shut off all the spigots they can for help in the Negro community, and they try to isolate the civil rights movement, and then they say, you see, the Negro community won't even support it. But the fact of the matter is, they also do this to the whites, to the poor whites, and to the whites who don't know any better. And it's really just a very few people in the power structure who would like to keep it this way. Not just Citizens Council people, but I mean, you know, there are a few others, I'm sure, that like to keep it that way. But it's a very sad situation, because they use this as a tool in a police state. It is an absolute police state. It can be used against the whites, as it was when one of the churches in Jackson wanted to integrate. They wanted Negroes to come in. They had a vote, and they said, let them come in. Now, the mayor of Jackson says, we have no official policy of segregation. But when they tried to integrate those churches, they were arrested on the steps for trespassing, and it wasn't because the church asked them to be arrested, no matter what the mayor said, because the people in that church will say so. And we've lost, what, about 15 ministers in Jackson, whose congregations sent them home, sent them out. Because they can do that. They didn't want to integrate. We finally had one that voted to integrate, and the mayor said, uh-uh. One minute he gets on the stand and says we have no official policy, and the next minute he turns around and arrests anybody who tries to do something.
You mean the ministers were sent away because they would not integrate that?
Because they wanted to integrate, but finally did find one church in Jackson that would. Their congregation voted on it. It was close, but the people would have accepted it very peacefully. This is the sad thing. Instead of the church interfering in the state, we now have a situation in Mississippi where the state's policy is interfering in the churches. And I think the ministers are becoming very concerned, but it's something I don't know what they can do about it. Anytime you mention a biracial committee or anything else, you're a communist in Mississippi. Anytime you talk about free speech, you're a communist in Mississippi. Anytime you talk about integration, you're a communist. They have this tremendous blind spot about world affairs and about the integration question that just can't be overcome, and the religion has just been unable to touch it. And when you do find a situation that it will touch it, and the state becomes afraid they got a chink and sort of in the armor, they smash it. They smash it as fast as they can. The parks, I mean, you just name it. Anything you say that they say is open to the public, in fact, the police chief will arrest anybody who tries to use it.
Any Negro.
Any Negro. Well, in fact, any white who's with a Negro. I mean, that's the same.
Oh, yes.
Who goes, I mean, you know, who consciously goes in. I mean, the situation we had at the beaches down in Gulfport a couple of years ago is a very simple, you know. Situation.
I don't want to keep you all indefinitely. This is the end of tape 2 of Mr. Charles Evers. The other voice that has come in is Mr. Neil Goldschmidt.
It's public relations. He's not public relations.
Public relations, NAACP, Jackson, February 12.